Amen. We always have time for the spontaneity of the moving of the Holy Spirit. Others that are here, the Holy Spirit was reaching and continues to reach for you this morning. That's what He does. That's what He does. He draws to Christ. That's what He does. Amen. If you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 3 on this Communion Sunday, and for a few weeks we'll depart. Those that are praying, you feel comfortable just going ahead and pray. These next few weeks we'll be focusing on what Christmas means to we Christians, to us Christians. And we want to hear what the Scripture says. And let's just hold steady throughout the service and be eternity conscious rather than time conscious this morning. Can we do that? Let's be eternity conscious rather than time conscious this morning. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word. I want you to know, as you have, if you turned into Scriptures and have Bible knowledge, that this is right at the start of the book. This is right in the beginning. And the Scripture says, this is God speaking, verse 15 of chapter 3. God says, when God says He'll do something, it's a promise or a warning. This is both in one. He said, "And I will put enmity between thee," Satan is represented by the snake, "between thee and the woman, and between thy seed," everything that Satan produces, ever man, ever thing that Satan produces is his seed, "and her seed," Eve's, the woman's seed. What's going to happen? "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The woman's seed shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. I want to preach this morning on the promise. This is it. This is the very beginning. This is God's promise of redemption. And His promise of redemption shows that God has a heart never to discard, but rather to redeem and restore and make new. That's the heart of God. People throw people away, but God doesn't. What a promise. Hallelujah. You can be seated. This verse is an all-important verse in the Bible. It's the first of God's promises. This verse reveals what the Bible is all about. This verse points to us the plan of God to redeem and to save mankind. We're living in a season of campaign promises. Have you heard any candidates making any promises lately? I heard one say, if this person is elected, within months of that presidency, gas will be $2 a gallon. That's a campaign promise. But I want to ask you this morning, how many of you have a tendency to believe candidates' campaign promises? Let me see your hand. No, sir. I've read a lot of presidential history, and I'm convinced so far from my reading there was only one candidate who became president that fulfilled his every campaign promise. You may not even heard of him so much, but it was James Polk. Served one term. As far as they can tell, he fulfilled every promise he made in the campaign, but it killed him. He worked so hard that 2 months after his presidency, he died. It killed him, but it kept every promise. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. And God makes promises, and God made this promise. And when he makes a promise, he keeps it. And it killed him to keep it. I said it killed him to keep it. Aren't you glad God keeps his promise? I'm telling you what, the Holy Ghost is here. Hallelujah. I want to talk about the giving of this promise. This promise comes in a unique form. I didn't read the whole context, but you got enough of it to know that this promise actually comes in the curse that God is putting upon Satan. Satan has tempted Adam and Eve to disobey God. Eve has went along with the temptation, following the instruction of Satan, listening to his lies, following her fleshly, carnal nature, her lust. Following that, she has sinned, and Adam willfully followed into her sin. In that moment of their sin, they lost the presence of God. They lost the peace of mind. They lost their purity of heart. They lost eternity, and they lost paradise in that sin. At the moment of their sin, they began down that path of mental and emotional and physical deterioration and ruin and destruction. By sin, man had ruined himself. By sin, man had found himself destroyed. The very thing Satan said wouldn't happen if man sinned was the very thing that did happen. Amen. And in all of that mess, in all of that sin, in all of that hopelessness and destruction, God comes and he speaks. And he says, yes, there are consequences to what you have done. There are consequences to your sin. But in the midst of it all, he turned to the tempter. He turned to Satan and he cursed him. And he said, I want you to know, thou seducer of mankind, thou enemy of mankind, I want you to know what is going to happen. And he told Satan what was going to happen to him. But oh, I got excited, because the curse to Satan was the promise to man. I said the curse to Satan was the promise. The bad news to Satan was the good news to mankind. What was God saying? He was saying, I'm not going to discard you. I'm going to make you over again and make you new. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This verse in the first book of the Bible, the book of books, declares the theme of the whole Bible, the whole book. You know this, but the Bible is 66 books written by 40 different authors in 3 to 4 different languages over the period of 1400 years. And yet you take all of that and those 66 books over that period of time, and that plethora of authors, amen, that one book has but one message. And that message is, man blew it. Man sinned. Man messed up. But God is a merciful God. He doesn't discard man. He doesn't forsake man. But he redeems man. He saves man. He makes man over again. I'm talking about the Christmas story is a fulfillment of this very promise. Can you say amen this morning? Praise the name of the Lord. That's what makes the Bible different than other holy books. The Bible has unity. It follows a theme, and that theme is the fall and redemption of man, the rescue, the deliverance, the saving, the redemption of man. Amen. This is a story. This promise tells us that God has a plan. God's plan is to bring man back into relationship with him. God's plan is to rescue man from the destruction he brought upon himself. God's plan is to restore man back into the paradise that he lost. I'm telling you, when God speaks, there's hope in it, even when he's cursing the enemy. Hallelujah. Even this promise all evolves around seed. In particular, I want you to look what it says about the woman's seed, her descendants, her offspring. You go to the New Testament before you read the Christmas story of Matthew, and in the Christmas story of Luke, you have the genealogies. Why? Why do they go through that trouble? The genealogy, well, you could say, well, it's to show the connection to David, because Jesus is going to be the Messiah that sits on David's throne. You could talk about it's to show the promised seed of Abraham, and it is both of those. But the reason those genealogies are there in those gospels Gospels is to say that the promise of Genesis 3:15, when God said the seed was coming that would crush the head of the tempter, crush the head of our enemy, those genealogies say that has been fulfilled. The seed of the woman has come. Hallelujah. Eve has sinned, but God's going to use her seed to bring the redemption, and not just her seed, but the seed of Ruth, an alien, an outsider. Not just her seed, but the seed of Rahab, a very harlot. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, man had ruined himself, but God said, I'm going to bring about a descendant, and that descendant will be your redemption. It'll be your salvation. Amen. I'm talking about the giving of the promise. It was given 4,000 years prior to its fulfillment. 4,000 years had passed plus, but God kept his promise, and the seed came. The descendant who would be the deliverer, he came. The promised seed came. Amen. The promise is that Satan would bruise his heel, and he did. Satan bruised the heel of the woman in many ways, but let's talk particularly about Christ. He bruised his heel. He turned Christ's own countrymen against him. He had Christ ridiculed and mocked, opposition on every side. He had Christ falsely accused, falsely arrested, beaten, and crucified. He bruised the heel of woman's seed. Oh, but what he didn't recognize, a man in bruising Christ's heel, he put himself in a position where Christ could crush his head. Hallelujah. Do you get it in the promise? Hallelujah. I can't have one of these young men illustrate this. I'll use a songbook. Amen. But Satan is bruising Christ's heel, bruising the seed of the woman's heel. I'm talking about the cross. I'm talking about the pain. And he's bruising his heel. But when Satan began to bruise Christ's heel, he put himself in a position where Christ could crush his head. Amen. Yes, his heel was bruised, but he rose again from the dead, victorious over every demon, victorious over Satan, victorious over death, victorious over sin, victorious. Oh, the seed of the woman has come and crushed the tempter's head. Can you say amen? It was Adam and Eve's darkest hour. They were filled with shame for their sin. They were hiding from God. They were wrestling with their guilt. They were blaming one another. But in the dark hour of their destruction, God came. Yes, God was frank and candid. He told them the consequences they would suffer. But he came in mercy to give a promise. And he sealed the promise with the prefigurement of killing animals and shedding blood, that their nakedness and shame should be covered. And that was a prefigurement of the time coming when his son would shed his blood to cover and take away our guilt. Hallelujah. Adam and Eve's lowest time that they had ever experienced, yet God came and brought a promise. I don't care how low you are this morning. It doesn't matter how far you've gone. It doesn't matter what you've done. Amen. It doesn't matter how you've messed up your life. Adam and Eve had messed up theirs. Those things don't matter. God's got a promise for you this morning. He says, if you'll let me, I'll redeem you. I'll give you a new beginning. I'll restore you. I'll bring back an innocence and purity to your heart and your mind. Amen. That's the giving of the promise. Then I want you to notice the grace in the promise. Man messed up everything God had planned for the universe. When man sinned, he messed up the universe. He messed up the world. That's why we got ticks and tornadoes and taxes. Amen. Man messed up everything. Universe, world, but he also messed up himself. Man messed up his mind. He messed up the way his emotions work. He messed up his body. Everything about it was messed up with man's sin. Amen. When God's creation, man, rebelled, God is creator.
had every right to wipe this earth clean of every sign of man. Amen. God knew what man had done. Amen. God knew man had messed up. He never had to come down to earth one more time. And yet after man messed up, he came yet again to walk in the cool of the evening. After man in his shame hid himself, God could have left him right there to his destruction. But no, God came seeking him. Where art thou? And God's never stopped seeking him. Even in this morning service, I've heard him walk on the aisles and say, I know you've messed things up. I know you're hiding. You're behind a facade. Where are you? I've come seeking him. Amen. I'm talking about the grace in the promise. Amen. He never had to talk to Adam and Eve again. Simply strike them into annihilation and oblivion. But instead, when man messed up, instead of annihilating him and wiping the earth of man, God came with the promise, I'm going to rescue you. I'm going to save you. I'm going to redeem you for time. And all the grace of God, can you say amen? I don't know if you get what I'm preaching. You may think I'm just being redundant, but I believe the message is from the story of Adam and Eve and the promise that God gave them, that our God does not discard and scrap humanity. Our God redeems and restores. Yes, he's a creator, but he's also the redeemer of his creation. Hallelujah. Oh, the grace in the promise. I appreciate the working of the Holy Spirit. And as I was meditating on this promise in Genesis 3:15, God made me think about Jeremiah. Would you help me, Brother Durth? Jeremiah 18, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise, go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he threw it in the trash heap to be taken to the dump. No, what happened when it was messed up in his hands? He made it again. Oh, we ought to shout. He didn't throw it in the trash. He made it again. Another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord. Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. Amen. I've always taken that as a wonderful illustration. God was saying to Jeremiah, I've got a good illustration. What I'm going to do with Israel, you go down to the potter's house, and I'll let you visually see what I'm going to. And I've always thought that was just a good illustration. But as I begin to ponder this promise, Brother Heath, it wasn't just an illustration. It was something God had actually done. The creator potter, one day at the eve, the beginning of time, he reached down, the dawn of time, he reached down and he got a handful of clay, and he, the master sculptor, began to sculpt that clay, and he made man perfect in every way, body, soul. Amen. He, the potter, did the wonderful job. It was good. But man destroyed himself in the very hands of the potter, in the very paradise of communing with God in the cool of the evening. Man destroyed himself in the very hands of the Creator. Right then, God could have taken the clay as the potter and thrown it into the refuge heap and say, I'm done with you. I'm through with you. But when Adam sinned, his very name means clay. Hallelujah. When Adam sinned, messed himself up in the hands of the potter, God did not discard him. He just immediately set about to remake him. I'll make it again. I'll make it again. I'll make it again. You might have messed up, but God's not a God that discards. God is a God that is saying to you, however you've been abused and misused and destroyed, however the consequences of sin, God will not discard. He's saying, if you'll let me, I'll make you again. Amen. Put yourself in my hands and I'll remake. Hallelujah. I'll make you new. God made man and he can remake man. God made you and I. We may blow it, mess it up, but he can remake us. It's called redemption. Because of man's sin, God drove him out of the garden, lest he should eat of the tree of life and live forever in a tormented, decaying state. But when God drove man from paradise, he was also leading him to a place called Calvary, to a bleeding cross, where once man made it to the cross, he could go back to paradise. Oh, hallelujah. Last of all, the gratitude for the promise. Aren't you glad God has shown through Adam and Eve he's not willing to discard, but to remake? Hallelujah. What God did for Adam and Eve, what he did for the human race as a whole, he does for individuals. You and I may mess it up, make a mess of our lives. We may mess up our marriage, mess up our families, mess things up. But God's not a God that discards humans and marriages and families and humans. He's a God that today, as he did back then, desires to remake and renew. I'm grateful for that. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. You say, what does all this have to do with Christmas? I've already alluded to it. But Christmas is to celebrate the birth of Jesus. And the birth of Jesus was the coming into this world, that promised seed of Genesis 3:15 that would crush the head of our enemy and bring man back and to restore man to what God wants him to be. So we're celebrating the fulfillment of this promises. Have you think of how many times we've blown it and blown the good that God has done for us and in us? Yet God doesn't set about to get rid of us. God sets about to bring us back to the place he can restore us and renew us. I'm grateful for that this morning, aren't you? Amen. What if God did at the garden? What God did at the garden didn't just indicate what he was going to do in the general history of mankind. It indicates what he wants to do with messed up folks this morning. This December morning, this Christmas season. Would you come, music? God takes folks that are messed up, horribly messed up, and he remakes. Now, I want to tell you something, church. I know we're not perfect till we get there. But if we're in Christ, our foot is on the head of Satan in Christ. Being there, it may get bruised as Christ heal was bruised. Have you ever been bruised right in the church? Because you're in Christ. But never forget, if you're in Christ, your heel is going to crush Satan's head just as well. Romans chapter 16, verse 20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Hallelujah. We are his seed. Praise the name of the Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. One of the things, don't take this wrong, but I took pride in, was one year we were at convocation. We pulled the trailer for the luggage. And I looked over and one of the teachers was moving out and there was an old desk in the trash heap out in front of his house. And legs were off of it, and water had warped the veneer on the top, and little decorative pieces were missing, oak pieces were missing. And there it all was, the top totally detached from the rest of it. And I got to looking at that, and I said, well, it's oak. That's too good to throw away, oak, even for scrap. So I threw it there,
in the back of that trailer and brought it home. I got it home. I began to restore that thing. I refinished it. I repaired the veneer on top, put a band around it. The missing pieces, I took a piece that was still on there. It was like it. And I planed the oak down and put that on there and traced around it. I made the missing pieces. I repaired the drawer. And for years, that thing sat in our house. And I'd walk by it, and it wasn't no particularly beautiful thing. It was an old library table. And I didn't do a particularly good job at restoring it. But every time when I walked by it, there was something in my heart. I thought, man, I rescued that from the trash. It would have been in the dump. It'd be rotted today. But I rescued that, and now it sits in my house. I had an affinity with that table. I'm telling you, I'm grateful for what God has done. But I think he has an affinity to us as well. He looks at us and says, I rescued them from the trash heap. The world had discarded them. Their family had discarded them. Their friends said they were too far gone. But oh, I came by and I brought them out of the trash heap. And I restored. And today they're in my house. Let's praise him for his promise. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 He'll even supply the broken pieces. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. He wants to do that this morning. This is communion. Let's keep in mind this promise of redemption. Servers, would you come? We're going to serve communion. May it be special to hearts this morning as we partake. Hallelujah.